Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
Anything you could do online with money, you could do the same thing without money. Only if you have the right strategy, only if things happen at the best time in your favor.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music, and you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. I'm excited to be here with my new friends, Michael and Anto. They're from Music Promo Today. And a quick introduction, Music Promo Today Agency is a digital music agency that blends Web 2 and Web 3 with cutting-edge blockchain technology to help to propel artists and labels into the future. Michael is a co-founder of the company. Michael's head of A&R, and Anto is a co-founder of the company. And, you know, they've done some campaigns with, you know, people you may have heard of, like Beyonce, to speak of, which is pretty incredible. When I was browsing the website, like, holy cow, like, that's the queen. Let's go. But before we hopped on here in the green room, we were just talking a little bit about the current state of the music industry, and there's a lot of fear and excitement, and there's a lot that's changing with AI. And so I'm really looking forward to connecting with them and just hearing a little bit more underneath the hood of really what's happening right now in the music industry, both kind of where we were coming from and where things are going. So thank both of you for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us, Michael. It's a pleasure, man.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, to kick things off, maybe we can just start with a little bit of an introduction to you guys and how you started Music Promo Today and how you found yourself working with, you know, artists like Beyonce.
So back in 2007, 2006, a few of my friends reached out to me, and they were like, do you know we could make a website and we can make money with a website? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we, me and my friends started a blog in the music industry. Back then, people were downloading torrents and MP3 files to listen to music. So we had a music blog, and it was a lot of fun because we used to get a ton of traffic. And people used to use Casla, Winamp. You know, it was a different music industry. We sold that blog after a couple of years, and I met Rafi. And when I met Rafi, we launched a few startups together, one on Twitter specifically. So artists reached out to us to grow their Twitter followers. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram back then. So we helped artists grow their Twitter fan base with basic, no AI, no advanced methods or strategies. It was mainly like follow, unfollow automation, tweet more, you know, to get a reach. But it worked. So a lot of DJs, a lot of musicians, politicians worked with us. We flipped that business. And then we did the same thing with Facebook pages when Facebook started to grow. When we did that with Facebook, we tried the same with YouTube. And then we were like, okay, this is getting interesting. Now we have like a baggage of knowledge. Let's start a marketing agency. So we launched a marketing agency that we still run till today. It was mainly B2B clients until we started noticing a lot of musicians are reaching out to us. We're like, okay, this could be a niche on its own. And our very first client was Matt Spike Miles from Massachusetts. And we ran a campaign. Things, you know, were going in the right direction. He signed to Rick Ross and then Maybach Music Group, his, you know, management company, signed with Warner Music. So we're like, okay, let's go after the main guy, the labels. And we went after labels. And when we looked back, we were like, okay, we have more musicians as clients than B2B clients. And we've done a lot of great campaigns for large corporations like Sony, not Sony Music, Sony PlayStation, Sony Vaio laptops back in the day. We've done campaigns for companies like Bell Canada, Virgin Mobile. And at that point, we were like, okay, we have more musicians than B2B. Let's create this MPT branch, the Music Promo Today branch, and just focus, you know, a certain number of employees in the music space. And we started that officially in 2014. Now it's, almost 11 years. We're still in the game. We pivot. People tell us we're experts, but, you know, we try to make sure artists get from A to B. And frankly, B is very different for every single client we have.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you have to be doing something right if you last more than, you know, 5 years in the music industry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And, you know, having had perspective both from, you know, your previous work with the marketing agency and both, you know, kind of before the music industry and then kind of coming into the music industry, I'm curious, how do you feel like the landscape of the music industry compared to other industries that you've come, that you've done marketing stuff for before? Like what are some of the unique facets of the music industry that you think are actually only relevant to the music industry that aren't as relevant to the other ones?
So there's a lot of opinions out there, but the one that really struck me for some reason is came from Mark Cuban on Shark Tank. And he said, I don't invest in the music industry because it's a very risky space. And not that I'm a fan of or not of Mark Cuban. You know, we all look up to him. He's been successful. But, you know, you remember that it's a risky space, not for musicians, but also investors and people with capital. I think after a decade, I kind of understand why. It's risky. There's risk in every sort of, let's say, business operation, but the music business is very unique, I find. There's a lot of challenges for the investor, for the founders, for the recording artist, and there's a lot of changes. It's a very fast-paced industry, especially that now technology is involved. Things used to be very simple back in the day compared to today.
I think in this question, there's other really something very interesting about music that's pretty unique about the music business is that once your asset is created, you know, you made the song, okay, you published it, it's out there, it's in there. Even if it's 15 years later and you're completely, you've been unheard of or off the map for 15 years, you made one song and like that was it, got a few thousand streams. But 15 years later, all of a sudden it could resurface. You know, unlike any other business where, you know, well, if you don't have any customers anymore, well, that's pretty much the end of your business and got to lock the doors and call it a day. Music as a creator, you, especially on the, mainly on the artist side, you always have something that's there that can have and create value many, many years later, which is something we see often, you know, especially now in the age of TikTok and everything where people are digging up old songs that like people haven't heard of, you know, since the 70s or something, or was this weird niche track from like the 50s or something. And all of a sudden it's a trending sound on TikTok and everybody's invited and, you know, the person's name begins to climb on streaming channels and, you know, some trust fund somewhere from their fourth descendant, you know, all of a sudden gets a check for 40 grand. They're like, all right, well where, what's this from? You know, I think that's a reality that can only really exist in this creative space as opposed to anything else. A lot of artists, you know, that show up and it's their debut, you can take the model of, let's say, a startup and profile it on top of the artist. You could look at them as someone that, oh, okay, first, what's your product market fit? And you could use the same terms and all these different things to kind of analyze it. So it's unique in that sense, but also shares a lot of similarities between, you know, classical businesses. It's what Anto was saying earlier with the business of music and the music business, two very distinct things.
Super interesting. It just seemed like what you both said kind of ties in together in some ways too, around it being more of like a risky business, but also that you have this art that can actually have value that lives beyond the original business. What came to mind was thinking about some of those stories of artists, like famous artists that everyone recognizes, that they weren't famous in their time, but then they like died, and then their art became like huge. And it's kind of a bummer for the artist, you know, to not realize until after. But it's unique and it's interesting that even can happen. And yep. You think that that's a function of like the art itself? And this is probably going to lead us into some interesting territory with, it sounds like you guys are involved in the Web 2, Web 3, and you know, some blockchain things as well. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the role of like art and where things are headed, you know, and on the music side.
Yeah, I want to comment on what you just said about artists, let's say, passing away and music taking off. I was actually thinking about this in the last 2 weeks. About legacy planning, you know. We work with a lot of interesting people that have a lot of interesting music. And music could be in the shape of, let's say, instrumental as well, or lyrics that are very meaningful and that could even heal people. So I've been thinking about starting something with MPT that not only takes care of the artist today or the next 3 months or 6 months, but plan for, you know, just like starting a business, entrepreneurs, founders don't plan for concession. And when something happens, everyone is like, what's going to happen? And then the bank comes in to take over, you know? And I want to make sure that if someone is really talented and has, like Michael said, an amazing sound, music, a catalog, it should actually reach out to people even after they pass away. And it's not the case now. And we see that after, let's say, 75 years or X amount of years, even copyrights disappear and you can get a hold of music without their original copyrights. But, you know, if you really want to help a musician, I think you have to help them even after they pass away. So my mission is to actually make sure that not just now, but after as well. I think that's a very important thing, because at the end of the day, you know, one day we'll be gone from this world. And if one generation or two generations after people remember us, that's great. But if you could set things in stone so that you're remembered for generations to come, that means your music is actually very, very powerful. And as humans, we could do that. We could do this. We can unlock that genius to get this done. And I firmly believe that we could do this with our company. We have very smart people. We're engaged. You know, we don't count the hours when it comes to like getting the artist from A to B. If you're, you know, focused, you could make anything happen. And just on that point, you know, I think it's very important for a musician to plan that legacy and to think about, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, you take the stairs.
That's it. You know, that question of art, Michael, that you asked, it's super interesting, because art, fashion, style all come down to, you know, social values. Okay. When society kind of encapsulates an idea, then an artist can represent it. And naturally, the representation of an artist, whether musical, you know, painting, sculpture, whatever, is a reflection of that society's emotional stance, or, you know, moral stance at the time. So there'll always be a resurgence of a thought or of a culture or of an idea that will come back in the future and come back and become more popular or grow out again. And, you know, an artist today can be feeling, you know, let's say the emotions of today, but it could also be reflecting the possibilities of tomorrow, or maybe the hopes of tomorrow. or maybe it's a reflection of the past. So naturally, the second that artist created it, it becomes timeless because it encapsulates everything altogether. So in today's society, you know, this music, unfortunately, because of the sheer volume of music that's coming out, and the sheer volume of art, it's hard to always properly represent it or represent it the best way possible. But through these different technologies, whether it's, you know, TikTok, platforms like TikTok, or it's platforms like, you know, the future marketplace for legacy crafts that Anto seems to be building as we speak. In either case, it's technology that's going to have to catalog these things, to group them, to feed them, basically, to the audiences that are going to be interested, whether it's, you know, commercial interests or public interests.
Wow, that's super interesting. I love this conversation. It's kind of like the zooming out and just having a wider perspective. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's something that we just don't really acknowledge very often. Just the fact that like we have such a temporary time, you know, like here to be alive, and that there's, you know, that it's in the grand scheme of things, it's really just a tiny little like, you know, piece of sand.
Yeah. There was a comedian, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, there was a comedian that I saw, I forgot his name, I think it was, showed up on my Instagram feed. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a connoisseur, you know, but, you know, showed up on my Instagram feed, and the guy was talking about how Picasso was actually alive in the 70s. And he goes, you know, he was, you think of Picasso as this great, ingenious, you know, grand designer of everything, but essentially this person existed at the same age of Mountain Dew, you know, and all these types of like hyper commercial and ridiculous types of things. The comedian made a fantastic point about it. If I find the video, I'll share it again. But we have this perception that, you know, like some things are so grandiose that they're out of reach, but they've only been a few years away. So an artist just investing that amount of time now today can be so significant that they don't even know yet, or they don't even understand how significant the work that they're putting into it can potentially be. You know? You always have to be comfortable with what you release in function of timelessness, because that's what you're creating. You're investing time to create something that's timeless.
I like it. Yeah, it's creating something timeless. I did not know Picasso was alive in the 70s. So I, for some reason, I think of him being like, I don't know, in like the 1700s. Or...
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, he dies in, Picasso dead. 1973.
He's still alive. He's in Orlando.
Exactly. No, but he dies in 73. You know, he's and Mountain Dew's around in like the 20s or something. Also, like,
correlation.
Well, you know, maybe. I think so. But yeah, Picasso could have been listening to, you know, Deep Purple. Could have been listening to Van Halen. Could have been listening to Could have been listening to Led Zeppelin, and been inspired by these artists and created something amazing.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, on this front of talking about timelessness and creating a legacy, and also what we talked about in terms of the current state of the music industry, in terms of AI, and just sort of this feeling of things are moving so fast. I'm curious where you see things, like how do you create that that legacy? How do you create a historical, you know, a way to take the song and actually extend it multiple generations down the line? Is it related to Web 3?
Fans. Fans. The answer has not been different in the last 200 years for anything. Fans. Fans is what perpetuates everything. Your music could be the greatest thing in the world. You could be an absolute genius that has created this like complex thing in the world. But if nobody hears it, well, great. You know, like you created the most complex and beautiful thing in the world, but nobody heard it, or it wasn't able to affect anyone. It's the fan that perpetuates the dream. You know, the fan consumes the music, the fan consumes the brand, the fan consumes that, you know, artistic, moral, you know, concept that's being delivered to it. It could be something as simple as like, I got a really good-looking girlfriend, a bunch of money, and a fancy car. It doesn't matter, but you know, that's what's being consumed by the person nonetheless. And if that thing holds value, or if it's able to, the value of it is able to ripple, And, you know, the artist is giving opportunities for their artist, for their audience to engage and interact and you know, complete the story or add to the story that they've created, then a song can live forever. Like, as long as it can, you know? Like, Anto, you've gone through this where, like, some of your clients have come back, like, years later with, like, you know, the song is still popping, you know, at the end of the day.
Or making money. I think, in general, it's about your message. And some artists don't realize how powerful their message is until they get a fan letter or an email or a comment on social media. And then, you know, it hits and they're like, oh, I didn't expect this. And then, you know, a lot of musicians are doing things today because they follow the norm. They follow the follower. And they don't understand why they're creating music and the impact that they could have. So I think it's it all comes back to dissecting the why. Why do you create music? And what's your message? And if you know why you're creating music, you have the answers, the one, two, three. And you know what your goals are, where you need to head, and for the why reasons. You just have to execute that. Some days will be, you know, shiny. Some days will be dark. And if you stick to that goal, you will get there. But nowadays, we see a lot of musicians, at least the ones that reach out to us, they don't even know why they do music. They just think that they could make money with music or it's a passion. And sometimes we realize it's not really a passion. And they think, they convince themselves that this is their passion. If you really dissect and you understand the why you are creating music and the impact you could have, I think you become much more responsible with the music that you create. And you don't start to follow the trends. If you start following trends, they change all the time. You'll get lost in a storm of trends. So you have to be yourself. You have to be unique. You have to be you. You have to be different. And if you're different, you're unique, and you're the first doing, you know, starting that trend, and you know the why, you could be very impactful. And 99.9% of artists can't answer these questions. And if you can answer these questions, you will be very happy with the little number of fans that you produce. People don't realize, and we always preach this, if I put 1,000 people in front of you and you needed to start a conversation with them, you don't know where to begin. That's a lot of people. But if you get 1,000 likes on Instagram, it doesn't look like much. If you get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, it doesn't look like much, let alone 1,000 comments on a single post. You could be very unhappy about it. But if I put 1,000 people in front of you and I tell you what you could sell them, what message, impact you could, you know, what energy you could transpire to them, that could be very dangerous, that could be very interesting, and it could be very exciting at the same time. So people are very much focused on numbers without actually focusing on the why, on what's their mission, you know, why do they create music, and what's the vision? And if they could answer these questions, they will get to where they need to get. Without even maybe knowing what's Web3 or what's Web2. Because for some people, obviously, it's sophisticated. Web3 is not for everyone. And that's fine. That's okay. You know, just like it's fine having 1,000 very dedicated fans instead of 10,000 or 100,000 people that you don't know.
Yep. And it's funny, 1,000 fans, like, you know, that 1,000 number, Spotify just removed that 1,000, set that 1,000 listener mark. And you think about it, it's like, you know, 1,000 people just listen to my song. Like, why should that be diminished in any way, shape, or form? You know, how many people can actually have 1,000 people in front of them at a concert or sell 1,000 tickets? But it's anyways, an interesting number.
It definitely is. Yeah, I'd love this conversation. And it sounds like what you're saying is that one of the most important things to get clear on to start with is why you're doing what you're doing, the purpose. Because if you don't know that, then one analogy that comes to mind is if you're like climbing up a bookshelf and you climb really high, but then at the end you kind of realize, oh man, like I was up against the wrong bookshelf. Like versus if you actually kind of figure out like what is your purpose?
Yeah.
Another analogy is you're kind of like having a North Star in the sky, like figuring out like what is your message, what's your purpose, why are you doing it? And you know, you might have up days where it's all sunny and it's great, and you might have down days where it's rainy and it's stormy, but at least like, you know, you have that mission, you have that thing that you're driving towards.
Absolutely. And it goes with everything. That step zero is so important for a lot of people. And sometimes it's not necessarily clear at first, but you could still see that the person, you know, has a natural inclination. And you could see this a lot in young artists, like people that are just starting. You know, you have the artist that's coming out of, you know, music school that they've learned in an academic fashion, like, okay, this is the talent, let's say, this is the industry and this is the thing, and they're putting it together as a business. Whereas there's other people that, you know, they were just good at something. They began to practice and in a swing of a moment, through maybe a few means and a few opportunities here and there, decided to record something. And there's a lot more of those people than you might think. Mm. And a lot of them, you know, at first, like Anto, some of them have no idea and they'll never know. Maybe it was just a fluke or a good time. But a lot of them kind of get into this thing where they realize that, like, okay, there's a creative process. And all of a sudden, they're learning that creative process from scratch. Mm-hmm. And it's important that, you know, when you meet an artist that's at that level, that you see has that inclination to keep practicing, to keep doing it, and like, to put the time and to really invest the time to understand. Those are the people you need to nurture. Those are the artists you really need to encourage as much as possible, because they're often the ones that are going to be able to make it all the way through, you know, without necessarily having gone through the process of learning and going through a deep, like, technical knowledge of music. Mm. North Stars, definitely.
I like
friends
it.
As well. Artists need North Stars and good friends. That's for sure. It's a very difficult business to do alone.
Mm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And the phrase that comes to mind as you share that is, who you are speaks louder than what you say. And it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, like, education is really valuable, it's really important, but actually, like, who you are and actually showing up and doing the thing is the thing that's the most important. And that's why, you know, it's possible to be very successful, even if you don't have technical, education, but you actually show up and you do it and you become, you know, that person.
That confidence. The confidence in knowing who you are. The confidence and being kind of assertive with your why, owning your why. And it doesn't mean that the why needs to be permanent. It could go this way, it could go that way, but you own it. You really have to own that why. Mm. It's even Rick Rubin says, like, the, you know, he was on Anderson Cooper, the CNN interview. He's like, I have no technical knowledge. He's like, he's like, I have no idea how any of this stuff physically works. But the man is behind some of the greatest things possible, because he was able to convey that message properly and stay true to himself, you know, as a creator, as a creative mind.
Mm. That's powerful.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, one question. I'd love to hear your guys' perspective on this. So one of the themes that we're discussing is around, like, authenticity and being yourself and showing up, having your why, your North Star, and not necessarily chasing the trends, but actually just continuing to, you know, be true to yourself, which I think for a lot of artists is, like, you know, that's something they're extremely concerned about, is they don't want to be on the flip side, which is sort of like, quote unquote, selling out or being, like, you know, seen in this commercial or whatever. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, you know, it seems like that side of it, you know, around, like, the memes or the cultural memes, like, sometimes there's a greater macro thing that's happening in the world, and then that thing kind of, that meme propagates, and then it's like, bam. And so I'm curious where you guys fall on the line of, do you think that there's a balance between, like, you know, you have to be authentic and be yourself while also being aware of, like, the macro state and trying to line up? Or do you see it more of, like, no, like, don't worry about the trends at all and just kind of focus on being true to yourself, and after with enough time, that's going to get you there?
So it's not really a one or the other. Okay. Mm. It's, you really need to be careful to take things step by step, because if, let's say, you haven't really figured out the why, or let's say you haven't figured out your step zero. And as a musician, you go on TikTok and you're just looking up like what's the next big trend to do, and you're just blasting out 20 videos. Okay, maybe one can go viral, but you're not going to have any idea what to do with that virality. And then you're going to come back to that same formula of just trying it again. And, you know, maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. Whereas if you do show up to that point in time where you're like, you know what, I need to experiment strategically because it's an opportunity that's there. And this trend does kind of fall under my audience, my vibe. Like I could actually, there's enough trends to go around. Like we could all agree on that, you know, so it's, it doesn't really matter who you are, what you like. There's something, there's a trend for you, you know, but it's until you get to that point, if you don't have that thing established already, like it's not going to fall through. Whereas if you show up and you pick the trend and you go with it, and then all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of viewership and you know exactly what to do with those viewers. You know exactly what your next piece of content can possibly be for them to be redirected. That's a whole it's two completely different scenarios. You know, commercial viability and artistic authenticity. Okay, this is like, I don't know if you need a third to make it a Venn diagram, but like basically the intersect between these two is where an artist needs to be. And it's never, how could I say it? Anto likes saying that it's a process, because it really, really is. The process is key. You can't rush through it. You could get lucky, you know, and hopefully you have enough people around you to like make sure that they just grab as much stuff as possible to put you in the right position. But you can't bet on being lucky. Like that's not how life works, you know. You bet on what you know. You bet on what you can achieve. If you want to be a little risky, sure, but you know, and bet on being lucky.
I like that. Yeah, the Venn diagram. So, yeah, it's
commercial viability.
It is possible to have all of those things. And it also kind of runs to what you talked about earlier in terms of it's great if you can like be authentic and be yourself and express yourself. Awesome. But like if it's not being heard, if it's not connecting with other people, then there's a missing component there just in terms of the fulfillment of like, that's what music deserves to be heard. Like that's part of like the purpose of it, so that you can connect and build relationships.
Exactly.
Cool. So maybe, I mean, I know that Web3 and blockchain, what I appreciate about both of you in this conversation up to this point has been that it's very like rooted in the foundation of what's really important, which is the connection, you know, between the artists and their fans and their relationships. And also, yeah, there are new tools and things that are happening right now, big shifts that are happening in the landscape of things like the internet and Web 2 and Web 3. And so I'm curious to hear your perspective on the current landscape of that transition. And, you know, as it relates to NFTs, you know, obviously there's a big bubble pop and like, and for good reason, there's, I don't know, GIFs of hamsters aren't worth millions of dollars, but.
Surprise, JPEGs, really?
Right.
Who would have thought?
But I'm curious to hear your guys' perspective on kind of the current landscape of that transition. And where do you think things are headed, you know, for artists on these platforms?
I could go on for days with this one, man. I don't know if... I'll leave you the mic though to hold my
I'll keep the NFT part for you, Michael. I mean, I've collected a lot of NFTs. I'm, you know, savvy when it comes to the blockchain and Web3, but Michael's an enthusiast, you know. I think there's a lot of platforms in today's era, you know, when it comes to technology, and artists are distracted trying to find out what they have to do. And as let's say, I don't like to call ourselves experts, but I'm trying to think how we could, you know, put this together. As people that have been through a lot of experiences, let's say, with a lot of different types of music and artists, we use so many different tools when it comes to, let's say, software, technology, software, whether it's with AI or not, platforms, social media platforms, features, so much money that goes into advertising when we run campaigns, that's really where we learn about what works and what doesn't work. And unfortunately, in today's era, artists put a social media post, and if it doesn't engage well, they're very quick to give up. We try to teach them that, hey, it's okay if you're not producing numbers after 10 posts. What if it's the post number 145 that's going viral for a reason that you will never understand? Are you stopping at 144 or will you get to 145? That 145 could very easily be post number 2000. This is a game of consistency, understanding what you're doing, but at the same time, it's because it's changing at a very fast pace, you have to try everything. You have to fail faster. That's what we say. And when you work with us, we've gone through those, you know, trials and tribulations. We've failed many times. We spent so much money where, let's say, the CPV or the cost per click is 10 times higher than it should be. So because we've been through that, when you come to us, you're kind of taking a shortcut. We're not here to do miracles. If you do pop music and you're targeting the Bronx for some reason, and I find someone else in the Bronx that also does pop music that sounds exactly like you, if you both of them have the same budget and the same targets, the conclusions and the outcomes will be very, very different. So this is why when people come to us, we're like, look, there's no cookie cutter program. There's no copy pasting. We have to try. We have to listen to the audience, just like you said. And we pivot based on the reaction. And the crowd tells us what they like based on engagement levels. And then we, you know, bring back a new round of content to them. So artists should just keep going. And it's challenging, you know, to keep going because there are no royalties. There are no quick rewards. People, the crowd and musicians look for, you know, quick satisfaction, instant gratification, and none of that exists. And when you keep going, sometimes you get signals, things start to move. And I could tell you, this applies to every single platform out there, YouTube on its own, TikTok on its own, Instagram, what else? X. When you start using these platforms, genuinely invest time into those platforms and their features, you start learning. Not only you learn, but you also discover, okay, this is working, this is not working, this is how I should tweak my approach. You look back and every single platform today, without charging you a single dollar, is allowing you to make a post, a profile. All these posts are instantly crawled by Google, indexed. You're not paying a single dollar. They allow you, you know, optionally to advertise, you know, to ice the cake. But imagine if you had to pay TikTok to sign up and you had to pay for every single post to go live. These are things that musicians are taking for granted. And, you know, people always have expectations. So personally, I'm a guy that has no expectations. So, you know, this is the easiest way to be happy. No expectations. Things happen. You could get happy. But the bottom line is to really try everything. Fail faster, try everything, you know, mitigate risk, but keep going because every platform out there wants their users to succeed. And they reward them, but only if you keep using their platforms, which I think is fair. So if you know your why and you're on these platforms and you're consistent and you never give up, you don't look at your numbers, you will get somewhere. In between, the harder you work, the luckier you get, because I believe in luck now. I didn't believe in luck about 2 years ago, but when I actually understood the definition of luck, I started to believe in luck. Luck will come to you only if you work hard.
Fair.
I like it.
Fair.
When you say the understanding the definition of luck, is that referring to, I feel like I've heard a phrase like luck is where preparedness meets opportunity. Is that the right?
That's a good one. I think
the most simple way to put is a lot of things happen that are out of your control and out of the control of other people that directly impact your life. And if nobody is in control, what do you call that? I'll tell you the source. I had a clash with my own brother about this topic of luck, because I was like, you have to work hard, and you could work smart after you work hard, so you could work hard and smart. And when you work hard, you get lucky. And then he gave me this amazing definition. I'm like, what was the source? So he told me about this book, Psychology of Money, that I read, and forgot the author's name. But that's a book I recommend. And that book has the best explanation of luck. Things that happen in my own life that has no ties to me, even if I'm prepared or not, and that impact directly my life. That's luck. You can't control that.
Yeah, so it's sort of like pure circumstance. So like the parts that you can't control. It reminds me of the serenity prayer. Like, you know, give me the courage to change the things I can. Yeah. The
humility to change to serenity to change things I can. Humility to change things I can't. To some like ch- not change things I can't. And
the wisdom to know the difference.
We worked it out together.
I think I've heard a different version. I don't know if I like humility too. I've heard a different version, but the idea is exactly what you're talking about right now. Though is just the ability to determine like, wow, like this is the part that I actually can control, and I can have courage to change it if I can. This is the part that I actually can't control, so I'm going to accept it. I'm going to surrender to that part, and I'm going to do my best to determine, you know, which parts I can and which parts I can't.
That's it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So coming back to kind of the core, for artists who are like watching this or listening to this right now, and maybe they're in a place where they're on post 1,211 and they're just like really, they're trying, like they really want to reach people. They want to make it sustainable. But they're trying to kind of have that breakthrough. How do they know the difference between, when they're honest, in your opinion, should they like the main thing is just keep showing up, just keep doing it? Or when do they know when to pivot or do things differently? Actually, here's a better way to put that. I love what you said about, you know, you test, you explore, you don't have the expectation, but you test and you see what comes back. And then you use that to pivot. But how do artists do those explorations? How do they do those tests in meaningful ways so that they can learn to pivot?
So it's very important to kind of visualize your day as an artist. This is where the music business becomes the business of music, okay? And it's very important to organize your day in a way where you're capable of creating, because that's your core function, okay? As an artist, your core function is to create. What that thing you're creating is a new song, it's a piece of content, it's an item or something, whatever. It doesn't matter. Your main purpose is to create. Once you finish your creative, let's say, cycle, that's where you have to begin to do your quote-unquote admin work. Whereas you're organizing what you need to do. That's where your team comes into play, okay? And for most artists that don't have a team, you know, you need to learn how to go through each one of these cycles, because at the end of the day, your product needs to come to life. It needs to be distributed. It needs to be interacted with. And you need to get something back from the world to go back and create all over again. First, understand your cycle. Okay, what and how you're going to go through that motion time and time again. Pivoting, okay, is when you're seeing, number one, a change inside of you. Okay, so let's say a creative shift. You thought X, now you think Y. You were less humble, now you're more humble. You were more humble and now you give, you know, you care a little less. Something happened. Okay, something happened that's going to affect that cycle. Okay. Once you feel that as an artist and you feel that it's being represented in your creativity, don't stop. Keep going, because you are only expressing yourself and you're maintaining that truth. When it comes to your numbers and your metrics and, you know, all of these different things, you know, let's be honest, money is important, you know, especially when you're spending on platforms, when you're spending on these types of things, you need at some point the organic effect. Okay, will begin to dilute at some point in your journey, whether it's an amount of followers or it's something, it does at some point it's going to dilute. So you do need to figure out like a monetary value to keep putting and keep experimenting and conducting those types of experiments. After that, creative cycle. After that, you have basically the responses, you know. After putting out all of these songs and contacting so many, let's say, radio stations or blogs or venues or things like that, are you getting the responses that you want? What's the actual feedback from your music? Because it could be that you make a song and you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I have ever produced. You start throwing it out there and you're like, well, nobody really likes it. And everybody has something very harsh to say about it. You know, it's like, okay, you could take that as like criticism and hurt yourself. But like, maybe it's like, yeah, maybe they just don't appreciate it. And, you know, they're not the right crowd for it. Are you going to continue making the same thing for the same crowd? No, you're not. You're going to listen to yourself. You're going to listen to your audience. You're going to pull that song back. Maybe you're going to find other people that might enjoy it more. Maybe it goes around. And in reality, you should consider, you know, string it better, or, you know, playing better guitar, or editing it more. There's always a level of that you can learn as an artist and go back into your creative cycle to create something new. And the faster you do that, the more often you do that, the better everything will, like, even the pivots will come to you naturally, because you'll know, you know, you'll be able to listen to what the world is telling you, and you'll be able to pivot towards what's working without necessarily sacrificing your own creative integrity.
I want to add something about pivoting. A lot of times, like, pivoting could be a very serious thing to do, let's say, in business. But if you're a musician and you're on post 1000, like you said, pivoting could be small changes to your strategy, to what you're doing. And I often say that analyze, you know, picture an artist without any ad spend, without any budget. Those are the best examples to take. If you have a great piece of content, anything you could do online with money, you could do the same thing without money. Only if you have the right strategy, only if things happen at the best time in your favor. So if we take an example of an artist that has a great song and needs to promote that song without the budget, analyze what people are doing, because the music industry is a saturated space and there's millions of people doing certain things. What you see on videos, all over YouTube, podcasts, especially social media, they can't even assess if the advice is right or wrong. Even community notes are not reliable, let's say, on Twitter, on X. So you have to analyze what the public is doing, and you have to try to do something different, because not only there's a lot of people, but there's a lot of people trying to do the same things. And if we look at Spotify, for example, the editorial team that's shrunk to like a very small team in the last couple of years, how many artists are they going to be able to respond to? So number one piece of advice, because everyone is trying to pitch to editorial through, let's say, Spotify for Artists or LinkedIn, you know, try to follow and stalk, you know, these editors, stalk whoever they're following on Instagram, get those followings to share about you, 20 of them. And then the playlister will be like, what's happening on my feed, the same music? And maybe that sparks interest, you know. That's a random example, but you have to try different things. You have to see what the public is doing, what thousands of artists, millions of them are doing, and you have to be different. You have to be unique, and you have to be the first, one of the first people implementing this. Otherwise, you're just stuck executing what the follower of your follower is doing, which you know, minimizes the success rate. And it's very challenging, you know, for a musician to master, to create an amazing body of work, but then to just hope that Spotify editorial will pick it up. So if you're on post number, let's say 1000, and you're one post away to give up, or you're one post away going viral, try to change something, small things, every post, every 2-3 posts. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be a big pivot, but with every new post, try to send it to one more person, try to change one small thing. And then you do that 1,000 times, these small pivots will result into something positive. And one day you'll look back, you'll be like, oh, I created something amazing. add the why, add the purpose, add the, you know, the fact that you're mission driven, and the mission, hopefully it's not just money at the end of the tunnel, you will be happy because you will be having this sense of accomplishment. And the crowd will come. You know, if you have valuable content, great music, the crowd will come. It's up to you to, you know, assess and be smart about your numbers. You know, you could be unhappy with 20 million monthly listeners. We have clients emailing us, calling us if they don't hit the million streams every 24 hours. And we have to comfort and we have to explain, look, there's competition, there's this, there's that. You're not even spending money into advertising. Algorithmic plays could fluctuate. But that's the reality. You know, people are very distracted with numbers and the platforms and the features. But, you know, let's hope that. And, you know, we see this with celebrities. Some celebrities have a number one hit record. The crowd looks at them as a god. Right? Number one hit record, platinum, this and that. In reality, if it's the artist number one, first number one hit record, that artist is already looking at the next single and already by default expecting another number one platinum record, which is very stressful on a celebrity, especially a new celebrity that doesn't really have the team or the budget, the financials around them. You know, so we have to be very grateful that we have access to these platforms, that we have access to these solutions. And, you know, we unfortunately have to be very smart with every single tiny decision we take in this space, because there's a lot of ways to, you know, spend the hard-earned money that you earn in the music space, ending up doing what people think. I could give you another example. Everyone talks about playlisting, right? And the blogs, the platforms, the SaaS product, you got to be on the best playlist with the most followers. In reality, if you spend money into advertising, the best way to spend money on advertising to promote the song is not advertising directed to your song. It's an advertising directed to a playlist that has your song. You know, if we just look at the numbers, the metrics, you know, the cost per conversion. But people don't talk about this because not a lot of companies or agencies or individuals are spending as much as money to get accurate conclusions. Yet you Google, everyone talks about being on a playlist. Nobody's talking about analyzing these playlists, the growth of these playlists, what data is backing the audience of these playlists, how quick they're in decline or growth. So there's a lot of factors that the average musician can't track. This is why we like AI. You could analyze a lot of piece of information in a very short time frame.
Exact.
Awesome. I like it. Well, I feel like we could have a conversation for two or three more hours and it would still be just as entertaining. But this has been great. I feel like we've covered the foundation, kind of the core heart of creating a purpose for the music, and also some tactical ways to kind of zig when they're zagging, and a good lesson to to be yourself, but also find that Venn diagram and kind of find the balance of connecting with more people. So thank you both for coming on here and sharing a little bit about your wisdom and insight from the past decade, well, several decades. And for anyone that's listening or watching this right now who is a musician who's interested in connecting more or learning more about the different resources that you have, where's the best place for them to go to connect more?
So I was going to say, Michael, you could always find us, of course, on our website, on our LinkedIns, on any of the social media. We're currently working with a new pivot for a lot of artists with TikTok directly. We'll be making an announcement pretty soon. So stay tuned, everyone. But for all those artists that are interested in opening up a brand new monetization route that's directly with TikTok, that technically is not going to be really available to most public for another couple of years. We have the advantages in the regions that this is available in. Do contact us directly, info@musicpromotoday.com. You could also give us a call, 646-650-5557. Oh my God, I sounded like one of those advertising guys. Call us now. All right, maybe in another life. But yeah, you guys could reach us through email, reach us on Instagram, reach us pretty much anywhere. I'm getting all kinds of DMs in my LinkedIn. So feel free, guys. Reach out. talk to us about ask us about our new TikTok plan, and stay tuned.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, like always, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And thank you both again for hopping on the podcast today.
Man, it was a pleasure, Michael. Thank you so much for your time, man. And thank you for giving us this platform to share our knowledge, man. It was a great time.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.